We are doing the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and I want us to learn the famous story of Hannah and her seven sons. We're skipping forward, and this story tells us about the greatness of a woman and her seven children who refused to accept idol worship during the period of the Second Temple. And we're going to see how the Caesar tries to persuade each of her seven children, and each one gives a different answer, and we'll see how each one gives an answer that is singular to that situation, and each one really teaches us a principle in faith in his answer to the Caesar. And we're learning this really according to the explanation of the Eitz Yosef. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Ki alecha horagnu chol hayom, nechshavnu ketzon tivcha." For it is upon you, God, that we've been slaughtered all day. We've been treated like sheep taken to slaughter. The Jewish people turns to God and says, "We've given ourselves up to be killed for the sanctity of your name." And the nations, they don't value our devotion to you. They look at us like sheep for slaughter. Rav Yehuda says this verse is a reference to a woman and her seven sons that the Romans wanted to force into idol worship, and they refused. They gave up their life on the principle of Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. They brought the first son before the Caesar and they told him, "Serve Avodah Zarah. We want you to serve idols." And he said to them, "But the Torah says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha." God introduces himself to the Jewish people in the Ten Commandments. He says, "I, singular, am Hashem your God. I took you out of Egypt. I believe in God, and I will not serve any idols." They took out her first son, and they executed him. The first son, we see, he quoted the pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What they were asking him is, "We want you to completely deny God's existence." So what does he answer? He says, the pasuk says, "Anochi Hashem Lokecha." We have a pasuk that clearly says we have a mitzvah to recognize God's existence. And this is the fundamental of fundamentals. This is the pillar of wisdom. We have to know that there is a creator for the world. That is the first point in Judaism. So much so that some Rishonim say it's not even a mitzvah. It's before all the mitzvos. You have no mitzvos unless you recognize God created the world and God gives the Torah, etc. So it's like a precept. Before you can enter the realm of Torah, you first have to know that. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah. But others say, no, it's before any mitzvos. So that's the son's answer. He says, this is the fundamental of all faith. I believe in that. I will not accept it. So the first son was executed, and they brought the other children. So they bring the second son, and they tell him, "Serve idols." And the son answers them, he says, "It says in the Torah, 'Lo yelecha Elohim achirim al panai.' God commands us, you may not have other forces that you believe in other than me." So the second son, the Caesar realizes, "I can't convince them to deny God's existence. So let me try to convince him to accept that God isn't singular." He'll agree that there are a few beings in the world. There's God, and there's also this idol. He also has forces. So maybe he'll accept that God created the spiritual things, and this being, this idol of mine, created the physical things. The second son says, the verse says, "Lo yelecha Elohim achirim al panai." God says, "I'm alone. You have to believe that I am singular and I alone run the world." They executed him. They brought the third son before the king and they said to him, "Serve idol worship." And he said, "It says in the Torah, Zovech le'Elohim yachoram bilti ladonai levadu. It is forbidden to give sacrifice to any idol other than God." The king realized with the first son and the second son that they're not going to accept this concept that there's God and another force. So he said to the third son, you know what? God created the world. Okay. But after he created the world, he's given other forces the ability to run the world. And he's not watching over the world. This idol is the one in charge right now. So accept him with understanding that God really created the world. Understand that there are other forces that run the world now. And the son answers him, no. The Torah commands us that we are not allowed to serve any being other than God, meaning at this moment, after recognize God is the one that's running the world, he's the only one I'm serving. They took out the third son and executed him. They brought the fourth son and they said him, serve idol worship. And the son answers them, the Torah says, Ki lo tishtachave le'el acher. You may not bow to any other force. By the time they've hit the fourth son, the Caesar recognizes that he can't convince them to serve idols in an ordinary fashion. So he tells them, look, this Avodah Zarah, we don't serve it by bowing before it. There's another procession that we use to serve this idol. So you just bow to it, and that's not the way you serve this idol, so it's not really like you're serving the idol. And so the son says, no, we have a commandment in the Torah that says, Lo tishtachave le'el acher, do not bow to anything but God. And that means you're not allowed to bow, even if you tell me that's not the way you serve this idol, but I'm not allowed to bow to anything other than God. And they executed him. They brought before him the fifth son, and they said, serve this idol. And the fifth son said, the Torah says, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. There are none other than him. The Caesar realizes that the children are not willing to accept that there is any other force. So he tells the fifth son, look, God created the world. He runs the world. But this idol is an intermediary. God is still involved. He's watching over what's going on. But there's this force that's an intermediary between God and the world. And the son says, no. Every day God gave us a mitzvah to proclaim that he alone is running the world right now. It's not enough that he knows what's going on. But even right now, there are no intermediaries. He's running the world. They executed him. They brought the sixth son and again told him to serve idols. And again, he quoted a different verse. He said, the Torah says, V'yadata yom, you should know today and take to heart that Hashem is the one, he is the force in the heavens above and the earth below. This sixth son, they told him, okay, you believe God created the world. You believe he's alone that runs the world. But at least accept that there are certain things that he does in the world through messenger. There's something here. He doesn't have a messenger running the world. But there is some other intermediary that gives good things to the world. And the son says, no. The Torah says you should know that God alone is the one in the heaven and the earth below. There is no intermediary even for singular things. And so they executed him. The Caesar hasn't been successful with all six sons. The six sons have agreed to be executed but would not accept even one iota of idol worship. And now they bring the seventh son. And the seventh son tells them the verse, Et Hashem e'malta yom, you've singled out Hashem, you've made him your special one to be your God, to go in his path, to keep his statutes, his mitzvos, his laws, to listen to his voice, and Hashem has singled you out to be his chosen nation. We've promised God that we will not have anything to do with other gods. He's our only God. And God singled us out from the nations to be his chosen nation. I will not serve idols. And the Caesar sees that he's not succeeding. The Caesar tells him, fine, I'll just throw my ring on the floor and you bend down and pick it up for me, not to bow for the idol, but at least all the people standing around will see that it'll look like you bow to the idol. And this way, you, the last son, won't be executed. The son turns to the Caesar and he says, "You know, I feel bad for you. It's a pity, you Caesar. It's a pity, you Caesar. You, you're flesh and blood. And what are you trying to do? Find a compromise in order to save face for yourself, for your own honor. But for the honor of God, so much more so that we have to think how to save face. You're willing to see an instance where I won't really do what you want. I won't truthfully do what you're asking me to do. But at least other people will think that you've convinced me to do what you want. So much more so, I have to ensure that other people will think that I'm doing what God wants me to do and not bow down to idols. And I am willing to give up my life for that." They took him out to execution. And the mother said, "Please, give him to me so I could kiss him before he dies." This child was a baby. And she nursed him and kissed him. And he was 2.5 years old. And she went to the child and she said to him, "My son, I'm telling you now what really should be said to all my kids. Kids, you go up there, go to Avram, your father, and you tell him, you bound one altar, and I bound 7 altars in honor of God." She was the one who advised her children, "Don't give up and don't give in." The story is amazing, but the story concludes with a line that I want us to spend a minute to talk about. The Gemara concludes the story that Chana went up to the roof and fell and died. And a heavenly voice came out and said, "Im habanim smicha." The Midrash says that a heavenly voice came out and wailed, "Al eile ani vochia," on these I weep. And the question we have to ask ourselves, we find in a few stories in the Gemara, that people go up to the roof and fall and die. And how are we to understand that Chana, after losing her 7 children, went up to the roof and fell and died? So some say she went up to the roof to commit suicide. She jumped off and died. We can understand that. One understanding that's offered is that Chana knew that she was next in line, and she knew that they were going to torture her to death. And when one knows that one is going to die and one has the option of being tortured to death or finding a quick death, one can take the quick death. That is one answer that's given. That she knew they were about to start torturing her, and as such, she opted for the quick death. But I would like us to see another answer, which we might not like, but it's worth knowing. We saw earlier tonight that when Avram and Yitzchak stood up to the test of the Akedah, the Satan came to Sarah and told her, "You know, your son was just killed." And when Sarah heard this, she wept and died. And we quoted a Midrash, that the Midrash says that Avram really didn't tell Sarah he was going to take Yitzchak to the Akedah, because he said, "Sarah can't handle that." What does that mean? So, the Radal offers an explanation that he says is a troublesome explanation. He says this is a dochak. He says, maybe we can say the following explanation, that God made women in a way that they have extra compassion for their kids. And if they get sudden news, then they can't contain themselves. The Midrash says that Yitzchak said to Avram, If you're going to tell mom about what happened here on the mountaintop, do me a favor, Dad. Don't do it when she's standing next to a pit. Don't do it when she's standing on the roof, because she might just jump off. So the Medrash also says, Avram said, I shouldn't let Sarah know what's happening, because who knows what will happen if she finds out. So the Chazal seem to tell us that there is an aspect where, although we have a mitzvah to perform, we have to recognize that women were given extra feeling. And sometimes where we are given a test and we're supposed to stand up to it, we can't expect them to stand up to it. They were given extra feeling, they were given extra care, and we have to recognize that because they feel things more deeply, their emotions can overtake them. I'm not condoning, I'm not recommending that any woman commit suicide or anything like that. But at the same time, we as husbands can learn a tremendous thing from this. The simple understanding, if we're going to remember one of the two, the simple understanding is that Hannah knew that she was next in line and she'd be tortured, and that's why she committed suicide. But there is this alternate understanding, which the Radal quotes on the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, which is that sometimes even someone as great as Hannah and someone as great as Sarah Imenu, there is this concept that the emotion can overtake a person, and more so by women than by men.